On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll look at a no-hit bid and Madison Bumgarner's surprising rebound.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Michael Beller and Al Melchior here with you on Wednesday, August 4th, and we dive into the news. Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery placed on the COVID-19 IL by the Yankees. Luis Gil got called up, made a start on Tuesday, and made it pretty darn well, Al. Six innings, six strikeouts, no runs, four hits, and just one walk. He got sent back to Scranton-Wilkes-Barre after the game, but maybe a guy to keep an eye on if he gets another shot in the rotation. Luis Severino, definitely someone we want to keep an eye on. He started a rehab assignment with AA Somerset on Tuesday. Yankees are looking at a window between August 22nd and September 1st to finally get Severino back on a major league mound. Jazz Chisholm and Matt Barnes were sent to the COVID IL as well. Jazz Chisholm exhibited symptoms just before game time, so that one is sounding like maybe it's going to be a little while. Matt Barnes tested negative, could return on Wednesday. Dave Roberts, in more COVID news, says he thinks Trey Turner will be cleared to fly to Los Angeles on Friday. Activation date, however, still to be determined. Kevin Biggio going to the IL with back and neck discomfort. Yuli Gurriel was scratched against the Dodgers because of a stiff neck. And Andrew Benintendi exited early against the White Sox with a shoulder strain. His teammate Adalberto Mondesi set to begin a rehab assignment on Tuesday at AAA Omaha. So, you know, take what Dayton Moore said yesterday about him maybe not being an everyday player. Roll it all together and we'll see what happens for him the last 2 months of the season. Jorge Alfaro, and this is a pretty interesting one, Al, made his first career start in left field. Alex Jackson started at catcher. Is there anything actionable to this right now?
I think maybe more wait and see for right now. I mean, these are both, well, I mean, especially Alex Jackson, I think is definitely a deeper league option. I like the fact that the Marlins are making this move in part with Alfaro to give Jackson a little bit more of a chance at playing time since they're carrying three catchers. And I just felt like Jackson never really got a proper opportunity with Atlanta. So nice to see that he might be getting that with the Marlins. And as far as Alfaro goes, I mean, he's got a lot of speed for a catcher and, you know, he's a bit of a unicorn offensively in that strikes out a lot, but still could have a decent batting average because he's a consistently high BABIP guy. So Alfaro may have some appeal, even not playing catcher, but of course still catcher eligible. So just, I think, a situation to watch and a couple of players to look at, particularly in deeper leagues.
Yeah, if this becomes something regular, maybe we look at these two guys a little bit differently. Steven Brault will make his 2021 debut on Wednesday against the Brewers. He was relatively effective for the Pirates last year, 3.38 ERA in the shortened season. Tyler Glasnow is going to undergo Tommy John surgery on Wednesday, so that's something that's going to significantly infringe on his 2022 season. Heath Hembry gave up a go-ahead homer to Jorge Polanco, blows a save, takes a loss. It's just the song remaining the same in Cincinnati. He'd allowed a run in each of his previous three appearances. Meanwhile, Lucas Sims is out on a rehab assignment with AAA Louisville, played catch at Great American on Tuesday. Al, I feel like we have to check in on this situation every like week to 2 weeks or so. Is there anything you're doing in Cincinnati's bullpen right now?
I'm not personally. I mean, maybe I'll be called in to pitch since nobody else is working out. But no, seriously, I'm watching this one right now because I suppose if Sims is out there, maybe pick him up just preemptively. I mean, Amir Garrett is still hanging around that bullpen. They just picked up Michael Givens. Givens struggled in this game on Tuesday, so it's been a mess almost all season. It continues to be one, and it's sort of a little bit reminiscent of the Marlins situation when they had Yimi Garcia, because we talked about that frequently, and they pretty much just stuck with Garcia throughout the whole thing. So maybe Embry gets kind of a longer leash here, but I just say stay tuned, watch closely.
Been a headache all year, not going to change anytime soon. Ryan Stanek got a save for the Astros in place of Ryan Pressly, who is on the paternity list, so maybe Stanek fills in as the closer for the next day or two until Pressly is back with the team. Let's talk about some Tuesday standouts. Joe Adell got the call and wasted no time, 3-for-4 with a pair of doubles in his debut at the Rangers. You said yesterday you were interested across the board, so I don't really think we need to say anything there, just putting an exclamation point on what we already talked about with Joe Adell. Willy Adames with a big game, going 3-for-5, hit his 19th homer, his 25th double. That was against the Pirates. He's 9-for-his-last-26 with 3 homers, 3 doubles, and you know, 295 batting average, 14 homers in 269 plate appearances with Milwaukee. I do want to say something about Willy Adames here, even though, I mean, he's rostered wherever he is going to be rostered at this point, but I mean, what a turnaround for Willy Adames. And we said everything we said about him in the Trop over and over and over again before he got out of there. But I don't think anyone could have seen it coming to fruition in this way that it has.
I think not. You know, I sort of liked him as a breakout candidate like in 2020, but just another case of somebody who didn't meet expectations, at least for me, and then kind of fell off my radar. So I don't know. Yeah, if it's just fulfilling those expectations a little bit later, or like you say, just the change of scenery, because yeah, he's striking out less, was showing the power in Tampa Bay, but I think just, yeah, making more contact has translated into him putting up these really incredible numbers. And I would actually argue that while he's not available very many places, that if he is available, that he should be added at this point, because you know, this is a pretty extended run here with the Brewers where he's just doing everything you'd want in your fantasy shortstop.
I totally agree. I feel like, you know, we look at some roster rates that feel curiously low to us, and I just assume that those are leagues that have fallen asleep at the wheel or have like super restrictive starting lineups or something. That's why I say he's probably already rostered anywhere where he is going to be rostered at this point of the season. That's not true for Eason Diaz. He maybe can get a little bit more attention in the fantasy world. Hit his 3rd homer of the year on Tuesday. He's 10-for-his-last-34 with that home run and 3 doubles. Are you looking at him, you know, sort of widening his fantasy aperture here?
Oh, for sure. A nice little run here, and somebody, again, who, you know, in the minor league showed this kind of potential, but just did various stints with the Marlins, just never put it together. Maybe he finally is putting it together. So I think in 15 teamers, at least worth a stash right now to see if he can continue this and, you know, finally live up to the billing.
Someone to definitely take a look at, I think, right now is Austin Nola. This was a guy who was, you know, drafted in, got to be close to 100% of leagues back in March, but injuries all season have kept him from staying on the field, but he is starting to get healthy. 4-for-5 on Tuesday. He's 8-for-his-last-17. He started 4 of the last 6 games, and right there, I think he's easily back on the radar in all fantasy leagues.
Yeah, and no, I absolutely agree with that, Michael. And I think the big issue here for Nola, it's certainly encouraging to see him hitting again, but the fact that that easing in period for him seems to have been very, very short, and right, already now back catching most of the games for the Padres. So if you had any hesitation about adding Nola where he's available, I don't think you need to hesitate any longer.
Yeah, don't forget what this guy did in 2020. The only reason he's out there in fantasy leagues is just because of various injuries keeping him from any consistent playing time to this point of the season. Elias Diaz went 3-for-4 with his 12th homer and 8th double of the season against the Cubs. Is he someone who is starting to get on your radar?
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I have a little bit of regret that I have a league where I needed a catcher replacement and passed Diaz over. And I think part of that was a concern for playing time. But I think that that may be kind of still sort of an even split or close to an even split in Colorado. But it is Colorado, so Diaz is making the most of it in terms of his power hitting. And I think he's playing enough, even if it's not, you know, enough for him to be the clear primary catcher there. Certainly playing enough to be worth your while in 2 catcher leagues.
Now let's move it over to the pitcher side of Tuesday's standouts. Adrian Hauser, just the latest to give us a chapter in when is a no-hit bid actually not very impressive because of the walks. He walked 5 guys in 6 1/3 innings, didn't give up a hit, did give up a run, 4 strikeouts against the Pirates. I think we know what Adrian Hauser is at this point. I think that my takeaway from this is it just sort of drives home that we can stream against the Pirates almost whenever, and maybe Adrian Hauser deserves a little bit more stream attention than we give him.
I think that's exactly right. I think you hit the bullseye with that there. That yeah, probably deserves more attention than he gets. You know, didn't quite get the chance at pulling off an AJ Burnett in this one because the pitch count was too high. But mm-hmm.
Edwin Jackson.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so you know, but certainly you'll take this start even with the five walks, and you'll take you know, I think a lot of future starts from Hauser against similar competition.
Dylan Cease had himself just an excellent performance against the Royals. 6 shutout, 1 hit, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts. Dylan Cease has definitely taken that next step forward and probably has Cubs fans, if they weren't already sad about the trades that happened last week, get even sadder about thinking back to that Cease and Eloy Jimenez for Jose Quintana deal from back in 2017. Madison Bumgarner with another good turn through the rotation in Arizona. 7 innings pitched, just gave up 1 run on 6 hits and a walk, struck out 4 against the Giants. And since returning from the IL, it's looked pretty darn good, Al. 1.80 ERA, just 15 Ks and 25 strikeouts. You obviously know you're not getting the strikeouts from Bumgarner anymore, but he's limited the damage in a significant way. Does it have him at all in your fantasy sites?
A little bit more than 24 hours ago. We both sort of doubted his viability as a streamer for this one. We both like Johnny Cueto better. Cueto was fine. Bumgarner was a lot better. And Bumgarner keeps succeeding despite the reduced velocity and the reduced K rate. I'm not totally buying this, but I think he is more streamable than I probably was giving him credit for.
We were in on Kyle Freeland, and he delivered as a streamer. 5 Ks in 5 innings. Gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, but you'll live with that as long as you're getting the 5 Ks. That was against the Cubs. In his last 8, a 2.15 ERA, 5 barrels in 130 batted ball events. We know we're going to be talking about him as a streamer whenever he comes up. Do you think he's more than that?
I think he is, just you know, because this is 8 starts in a row that he's been really good and doing it pretty much with the same formula, which is kind of similar with what we were talking about with Bumgarner, not walking very many batters, but also just not giving up a lot of hard contact. And oddly enough, even though Freeland pitches home games at Coors Field, I buy that contact management a little more than I do from Bumgarner because of that barrel rate that you just noted. So yeah, I think that I won't necessarily start him every time out, but I think I would plan on starting him enough from here on out that I would want to just keep him rostered.
Let's get into Wednesday's streamers here, Al. Zach Thompson, someone we talked about on the waiver show as being someone we might want to grab. He gets a start against the Mets. Drew Smyly is going to take the ball against the Cardinals. Josh Fleming, another guy we talked about back on Sunday when we did the waiver show because of this matchup he gets today with the Mariners. Paulo Espino gets the ball against the Phillies. And finally, Matt Harvey taking the ball in New York. The Dark Knight returns and takes on the Yankees. Any of these 5 guys, someone who you're going to be chasing today?
I would say Thompson for sure. And he is somebody, and I think you have categorized them this way, that he's just, you know, stubbornly under-rostered. And I'm not sure what it's going to take, but he's been good. He's been consistently good. I like him against the Mets. So that for me is pretty much a no-brainer. And I would say the same for Drew Smyly. The Cardinals have become a team to pick on with streamers. And Smiley's also had some consistency lately, not necessarily going that deep into games, but I think against the Cardinals, he could give you 5 or more innings, and that'd be enough for me. I'm a little bit squeamish about Fleming against the Mariners. I think I've kind of consistently underrated the Mariners on the road, so I think I'm going to learn from a lesson here. And Espino, he's been very consistent too. 5 or 6 innings every time with a couple of runs, not a lot of strikeouts. But the Phillies do kind of worry me as a matchup here. So with Thompson and Smyly as alternatives, I'm going to pass on Fleming and Espino. Harvey, I gave it just a quick thought because he's now had 3 starts where he's piled up 8 1/3 scoreless innings. And so had to obviously look and see how he's done that. And looks like smoke and mirrors, allowing a lot of contact. And so I'm going to have to take a hard pass here on Matt Harvey.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair to take a pass on Matt Harvey. Let's get on to the prospect spotlight to wrap up this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. Austin Martin made his debut at AA Wichita on Tuesday night, coming over to the Minnesota system with a .281 batting average, .424 OBP, 2 homers and 9 stolen bases previously at AA New Hampshire. And then let's just throw Reese Olson into the mix as well. He was acquired in the Daniel Norris trade. 79 strikeouts. strikeouts against 35 walks in 69 innings on the season. That was at High A, Wisconsin, also a 4.3 ERA. Fangraphs does rank him as the 13th best prospect traded before the deadline, but probably someone who we're thinking about more in the future than as a this season or maybe even next season sort of guy. But how do you look at these two guys, or what are you looking for from these two the rest of the season?
Well, I don't really expect either one to make a debut in 2021, but, you know, just really interesting prospects, both of them. And Olson in particular, I think, is worth noting just because he's one of a number of players who, you know, because of 2020, we weren't really able to track their progress over the, you know, the last year plus. And he's made a big leap from what he did in 2019 to what he's done in 2021. Again, mostly with the Brewers, but now with the Tigers, where, you know, they've already got some nice pitching prospects, but maybe a couple years down the line, we see Olson in that rotation. So, and Martin, just keep it on.
keep it on, just what we're doing here on the fan or on the Fantasy Baseball in 15. Thanks for joining us here today. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. We are back with you on Thursday. Enjoy today's action.